We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Well, praise the Lord. Again, it's time to take time for Jesus. We'll be glad to come into your homes by the way of computer or however you're receiving us. We just pray that God has blessed you in the days gone by and kept you by his marvelous grace, because he is the one and the only true living God. All others that make believe and have other names that they go by, it's all futile. The only one Lord and one faith and one baptism that we're baptized into one body. There's not but just one head of the church, and Christ Jesus declared himself to be the head of the church as a man is the head of the woman. We won't get into that part of it, but Christ is the head of the church. He gave his life for the church, and that we should obey what he has to say instead of every wind of doctrine that comes down the road and saying this and saying that. If we would come to the conclusion that God is God and only he is God, and know and understand that in the fullness of Jesus dwelt all the Godhead bodily. So we need to understand, my friend, we need to read the scriptures and not go by what man has interpreted it to be and when it's out of context, but read your Bible. Let me encourage you to read your Bible and find out firsthand what the Word of God has to say, because it's all right there, and it's all there for yours and my learning and for the cause to be brought into the kingdom of God through obedience and repentance and being brought forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as it is supposed to be, because there's no other name given to whereby that we can be saved. So if we would just endure the reading of the Word of God instead of just hampered around with it, and we'll just go ahead and read it as it should be, with asking the Lord to give you understanding, it won't be that far out of line with what we're saying. And it won't, in fact, it won't be any out of line, because the scripture will line up, and it's for yours and my learning that we can learn from the scriptures and know what it says, and that God was manifested in the flesh. So we need to get down to the word, as I've heard several preachers say, where the rubber hits the road, and we need to be precise and understand that there's no other name given among man whereby that we can be saved but that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else, no other human on this world, in this world, can forgive your sins. It's all through Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world knew him not, but he had power to forgive sin here in this world as he walked around there in Jerusalem and around about. We have to realize that the Word of God is truth, and if we can't believe it, then, friends, you're going to be out of luck, because all these here Big Bang theories and reincarnated and you came from a monkey and all that kind of stuff is a bunch of futile stuff that the devil has hatched in hell and brought out and set it in the minds of some of these people to try to destroy the very works of God, because he knows he's just got but a short time to go, and he's going to be shut up in his own domains and be punished throughout eternity. So turn your life over. Turn over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Read your Bible. Find out what he's got to offer you, and then see what the world has to offer you. And the finality of it is you serve the world, and what's going to be the end of it when you come face to face with the judgment. We know that when we go into a court of law here, the judge is the one that passes sentence. The jury may recommend things, but the judge has the last thing to say about it. So the judgment is going to face on all of us. If we have our sins gone on before us, then we're not going to have to answer to them, because the Lord said he would cast them behind him, no longer to be remembered. But now, if you don't get your sins taken care of now, when it comes time to stand before him, they're going to be right there to face up to it. And when God says, depart from me, my friend, there's nothing else that can be said or nothing can be brought back. And everything is going to be according to what he says. So your life needs to be into worshiping him in spirit and in truth, being born again of the water and of the spirit, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, and calling upon the name of the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, receiving of him that he may receive you. Because he said, if you come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he will in no wise cast you out. So if you want to reap the eternal gift of God, eternal life, you got to repent. There's no other way you can get there. Raising your hand and saying, well, after somebody's sinner's prayer, it's not in the scriptures that way. But I want you to understand that it's only one way into the kingdom of God. And Jesus declared that he was the way and the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. So why seek you some other way? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read your Bible and ask him for the understanding and the way that it should be. And I'm sure if you're sincere with it, he, as you, as he has me and many others, will give you the right interpretation of the scriptures and lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of your soul. So as we go to prayer, let's pray one for another. Remember our men and women that are in these wars, our policemen, our firefighters, and all them that are in the first line of defense that would take care of everything that comes down the road. And remember those that would preach the gospel and them that will stand upon the word of God, that they are in the business of winning souls for the kingdom of God, as the fireman and policeman is to protect you from the harms and danger. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for that blessed name of Jesus. And we come to you calling upon his name that you would help us to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. Knowing this first, that you died for sinners such as I. You came into this world to die to save sinners. And we appreciate that you have done the finished works of Calvary by taking our place on the cross, nailing our sins to the cross after you had borne for us the stripes for our healing, and you brought forth victory over death, hell, and the grave. So you are the Lord God that we call upon. We call upon you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are under the sound of our voice that would listen. We pray that the Spirit of God would touch their hearts, give them an understanding, and to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation for the soul. Help those boys and girls that are in the wars, our firemen, our policemen, all them that are in the front line defense that stands between danger and others. We just pray, God, that you would help this world some way or another, that they could come face to face with reality and accept you as their personal Savior, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and accept you as the blood that you shed for the atoning price of our sins. And we'll be careful to praise you for these and all things. In the blessed name of Jesus, we humbly ask in Jesus' name. Well, my wife's got something other here, and right? We're going to turn the mic over to her. And just keep praying for us that God will help us to be faithful to him, as well as we pray that you be faithful to him also and to him. May God bless you now. Here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. Today is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I thank the Lord every morning when I get up that he's allowed me to see another day. And it's a blessing. You know, people grumble about the things that are going around about us, but it only brings us closer to Christ coming back. And this afternoon, I'm going to share with you who Jesus Christ really is. You know, there's a lot of, you probably heard preachers and everything, but there's other people that believes the same thing. And this afternoon, I want to share with you the God's mysteries. And if you'll read 1 Timothy 3:16, it said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. There's so many scriptures, and if you would like for us to send them to you, we'll be glad to you. But I want to share this article I have from my newspaper up in Martinsburg, Pennsylvania. It's you might challenge this title about God as the God of mysteries. However, you can say that he's the God of nature. He's the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the New Testament. And he's the person of Jesus. All these are right, of course. But this just proves itself in saying that he reveals himself. We could not know God if he did not reveal himself. Unfortunately, for those who reject the Bible as God's word, their understanding of God is impossible. Nature would show us God is all-powerful, the creator, and a lot of all things. But without the Bible, we could not understand to put this all together. We can certainly not pull this all together on our own. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God to understand it. God is all-powerful because he created everything, with the exception of man, out of nothing. And he spoke all these simply by speaking the words. The creation is so devised from the vastness and majesty of the universe to the minuteness of the atom. The Old Testament reveals God's desired relationship with humanity. We see from the story of Adam and Eve that God desired to have fellowship with them and walked with them in the garden. And you can find all this in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, where God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. The New Testament even shows that even though God has sinned and rebelled against God, God provided a way for man to be reconciled to him and restore that fellowship. Jesus, who is God the Son, is a means of that reconciliation. We could likely not understand any of this without God's help. Beyond that, we can understand only as the Holy Ghost helps to interpret it all. Having said this, we come to another of the mysteries of God. Christians understand God to be Trinity. God is Father, he's the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three in one. Nature would not help us much here, but the Old Testament begins with the demonstration of Trinity. The word Trinity is not a biblical word, but the concept is there. In the beginning, God created. The Spirit of God moved. God spoke the word, and John's gospel says the word became flesh and walked among us. How did the word become flesh and walk among us? Jesus Christ himself. God, calling the eternal Son of God, was given a body of flesh and bone, just as all of us humans have, so he could come among us and perform the task of reconciling us to God. We accept and believe God is Trinity, but we are hard-pressed to explain the Trinity. Let me explain this Trinity to you. There's three in one. We illustrate an egg. It has three parts, all part of one. We use man, who can be son, he can be the father, he can be the grandfather at the same time, but he's all one person. And he holds multiple responsibilities. Water, which can show itself as steam, water, and ice are all the same, but in different forms. It's still water, no matter how you look at it. Still, we cannot explain this mystery, how God can be three in one. We accept it as truth and rejoice that God has revealed enough of himself for us to get a picture. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, now we see through a glass darkly, but one day We will know as we are known. One day, what a hope to have a promise to him. The Holy Ghost comforts us, and God is fully revealed. And he is revealed in us. If we will only let the Holy Ghost come into our life and reveal it to him. And take, as Brother Compton says all the time, take the book. Don't just pick out little stories where your favorite little stories were when you were a child. But start from beginning. Start in the beginning. Start in Genesis and read all the way through Revelations. You'll find Jesus everywhere you look. And like I said, if you would like to, for us to send you scriptures and you don't know where they are, just send them to us and we will be glad to send them to you. And if we say anything on this broadcast that you would like to have a copy of, you're more than welcome to. And if you would like to help us, that would be great too. And it's Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. More importantly than helping us financially is to encourage us and write to us. The email address is ecompton31@yahoo.com or sallygcp4@yahoo.com. We'll be glad to help you in any way we can. We encourage one another, and may God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Yes, there's many scriptures that bear record that God was manifested in the flesh. Man come along and made it there, and they put other people in the Godhead that's not supposed to be there, such as little Mary. She was a descendant from David, as so was Joseph, but that was of the flesh. And Jesus came into this world, and he even made mention about that he would sit upon the throne of his father David. That was after the flesh. David was not Jesus' father, but you might consider him to be in his grandfather, if you want to look at it in that way, of being in the flesh. But Mary was a descendant, and she was there that was why that God chose her above all other little girls that were Jewish at that time, to bring forth his body in the form of a man when he spoke the word into her womb, and it became flesh. And when it became flesh, it was God incarnated in the flesh, and he came forth into this world as you and I, born as a babe. He didn't come full grown, but yet when it was at the age of 12, he astonished them that thought they knew everything, as so much of the world does today, that some people think that they know it all, and they just don't know a whole lot about it after all. Now, friends, today there's no man in this world alive in human flesh that can answer all of the questions that you may have to answer. But if you'll read your Bible, I'm sure you'll find what you're looking for there, and it would be satisfaction to you if you'll only believe what it has to say. We're all flesh and bone. We're made out of the image of God, but we're not a God. We was made in his likeness, but it's so much of us has got out of his likeness anymore until he had to come into this world, born as a child, as it said in Bethlehem, where he said a little city that was there amongst all of them. It was small, but he said he came, and he was born of this Mary, of a virgin there. And God incarnated in the flesh, and he came to die for yours and my sins. If you read your word, my friend, there's just no other way you can explain it. God came into this world to save sinners such as you and I. He came for that purpose. He knew what he was got to go through, because he often expressed it to the apostles there that he chose from the walk of life. And I want you to notice that when he went to choose those 12 apostles, he made the statement there. He said, "Have not I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He was talking about Judas Iscariot, because he betrayed him. But he brought down to the place of wherein that he chose them from, They was plain, ordinary people, fishermen, and a tax collector even as much. He didn't go into the so-called synagogues amongst that bunch of Pharisees and scribes and all to choose his apostles, because he knew they weren't going to receive him. He knew they had their own thing, and that's what we got a lot today, is a lot of confusion, because it's so many of them that's got that attitude as the scribes and the Pharisees back then that they had, because they wanted to be so great in the sight of man until they forgot to live the life that God had them to, supposed to live. They was chosen to be the priest of the temple and everything, but God didn't call them. They was chosen. They passed it on down as an inheritance. Well, I want you to think about it. Our inheritance today is through Jesus Christ. Eternal life is inheritance through him. It's not through the preacher that may be preaching to you, or somebody else, or the government, or whatever, but it only comes through Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that purchased our salvation there, not with the corruptible things of this world, the silver and gold and all these other things, but he done it with his own precious blood, as Peter made mention to us. And we got to realize, my friend, that the scripture says without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. We got to know that God came into this world to reconcile the world unto himself. And Jesus Christ, whereby that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. So why seek some other way to go? Some of these people that claims that they can forgive sin in this world, and it's just utterly impossible. They might do this and they might do that and go through a bunch of commotions and everything. Some of them will jump up and scream and holler and carry on and one thing or another. But I want you to know that Jesus came in a meek, lowly spirit. When he came into this world, he didn't come with a great big shout, even though he was announced by the angels to them, to the shepherds in the field. But the kings didn't know where he was at, because you remember when the people went to searching for him. They came into Bethlehem and asked him. They inquired about where he was born, and then they had to go. And old Herod had to find out from where he was supposed to be born, and he was born right there. But when he told him to go and find him and bring him word where he was at and where he might come and worship, and it was a lie. He didn't want nobody to take his place, and that's the way it is with a lot of these rot-gut preachers around here anymore. They stand behind the pulpit and tell you all kinds of things, but they will then turn right around and divide the Godhead into you and everything, and not telling you the truth. Jesus himself, along with the Apostle Paul and them, said that there would be false prophets among us. There was back then, and they still are. When they come preaching another Jesus, when they come bringing another gospel, he said, let them be accursed. There's only one Jesus, one gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, because it's power unto salvation. He preached Jesus Christ, and he was the one that fought against it, like so many today. But when he come face to face on the road to Damascus there, when he asked, and that great light shine about him there, and he heard the voice, and he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecuted. It's hard to kick against the brick. Paul was converted, my friend. He come to the knowledge of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And by his grace, he changed Paul's attitude towards the church and towards his people. And he became an apostle, born out of due season, according to what he said. Not worthy to be, but he was chosen of God to bring this gospel of Jesus Christ to us as the Gentiles and carry it to Rome, where the big head man there thought he owned it all. But I want you to know that God created it all by Jesus Christ. It all belongs to him. There's no man got dominion over it except that which he gave him. And that forth, God is going to be sovereign to it, no matter what you or I say. It's only God is all the way around us. He created the world and the fullness thereof, and he made all things. And one day, my friend, he's going to be show up and everybody's going to see him, and everybody's going to bow before him, and their tongues is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. The Father is the invisible God, but he put on the face when he stepped in the flesh that he came in Jesus Christ. Many of the apostles questioned about it there, but I want you to think about it. When he asked him, he said, Lord, show us the Father and sufficeth us. And he said, have I been so long with you? Have you not known me? For when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. My friend, today, we have not looked upon the face of God as they did, because we are in a different generation, a different time. But God can be in you, the hope of glory, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. But you got to ask. You got to repent. He's not going to come into an unclean temple. He just won't dwell there. He's not going to come and be in the back room to a temple that where the devil is head of. So you may as well just face up to it. If you want eternal life, it's got to come through Jesus Christ. Nobody else. The Pope can't give it to you. And they claim that they are after one of them died for so many years, and they'll search out and find out about all these great things that he'd done, and then they'll declare him to be a saint. My friend, works is not going to get it. It's being faithful to God, obedience to him, repenting of our sins, and coming unto the grace of God through repentance, not through works and everything. If it had been by works, then Jesus died in vain. If it had been possible that we could have been saved by the law, he died in vain. But it was not possible that we could be saved by our works or by the law. But I want you to think about Jesus had to come into this world, God manifested in the flesh, to come and die for sinners such as you and I, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And he didn't say that you're going to have everything you want to make an abundant life as you think the old flesh desires, but an abundant life would have eternal life, eternal life in the kingdom of God. And there were, it's no more sickness or sorrow, no more dying, and everything. Now, that to me would be an abundant life. Oh, my friend, but some people looks at the world and they look through at it, and they see it, all the glit and the glamour there to it, and they just have to fall in love with it. But they think that they're all right. God's so merciful, he ain't going to cast nobody into hell. Don't you believe that lie the devil come out of hell with, or nobody else. Don't believe that they're a man sitting in behind a screen somewhere or another can forgive you of your sins and let you go on and do and commit your sins and you're going to be all right. It just don't work that way, my friend. Jesus came into this world to save sinners such as we. He came and died for our sins. He took yours and my sins upon him and all of our iniquities, nailed them to the cross, and he was died, and he was buried, and he rose on the third day, and he ascended up into the glory world, and now he came back in the spirit and the power of the resurrected Christ to indwell in human bodies that will receive him to where he can lead and guide you into all truth. That's why I say read your Bible. The Spirit of God will guide you into the rest of, if you earnestly seek after it. I know. I've been down the road. I've come up a long time ago, and I heard a lot of people claim that he was three, and he's two, and he's this, and he's that, but he's God Almighty, in the flesh of Jesus Christ. The fullness of God dwelt in him, and he came and died for you and I, that we would not have to die as he suffered for us. We may have to suffer a little bit in this world, but in the world to come, my friend, cancer and heart attacks and strokes and blindness and lameness and those things will be obsolete. They won't be there. But I want you to think about it. He came into this world to save us from our sins and not in our sins. You cannot continue to walk in sin and expect to meet God with a clean heart and a there and enter into the kingdom of God. If we've got sin in our life and the blood of Jesus has not covered that sin and washed it away and made it whiter than snow, then you're going to stand before the Almighty God And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And when he says, I never knew you, depart, that's it. Ain't nobody going to jump up and make an announcement there that we're going to have another new trial or whatever. It's all going to be over with. Just as them's going to say when he says, enter in, my faithful. They'll enter in. And I don't think nobody's going to contest that anyway, but ain't nobody going to contest what he says, depart, because the instant he said depart, they're gone. Ain't nobody, your lawyer, your judge, or whatever here in this place, this earth, ain't going to have no to say about it. These people are contesting all this and contesting all that and fighting this and fighting that. They got to realize that Jesus Christ came in to bring peace in your soul. He didn't come to bring peace of the world, because the world had never received him. If the world had received him, then he might have brought peace on the world, but the world has not received him. Even to his own, he declared he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but he gave them that received him power to become sons of God. Not a son, but the sons of God, and that includes male and female. He didn't make male to mate with male. He didn't make a female to mate with a female. He made Adam first, a man made in the image of God and created in his likeness. And he made Eve from a rib out of Adam's side, and he called him male and female. He brought Eve up to Adam, and he called her woman. And he said that God wanted him to have for a helpmeet. And my friend, these other people cannot hold a candle to that, because when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Noah, it was all run rampant in that time with sin of all kinds, and it's doing it today. Jesus Christ is going to appear one day, and all this here stuff that's going on now is going to be done away with. And my friend, if you don't know God as your personal Savior, the name of Jesus, calling upon him, and having him to receive him in your life, get the forgiveness of your sins and his blood washing away your sins, you're going to come up on the short end of the stick, so to say. And if you want to be in the righteousness of God, you got to repent. You got to absolutely repent. Be godly sorrow, do about face, and walk in the newness of life, being baptized in his name, receiving of his spirit, and therefore become a new creature in Christ. You can't go your old route and expect to enter into the kingdom of God. You can do that is be born again and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We got to realize that we know that all in parts, and we see in parts. But when that which is perfect come, then we're going to have all things is going to be as he said it would be. As my wife said there, we looked through a glass and there is smoke, in other words. We look into the mirror sometimes and we turn around and forget what we look like. But my friends, I want you to know today, God knows exactly what you look like. He knows the hair that numbered on your head, and he knows where you're at all times. You're never out of his sight. Even if you fly into the wilderness there, he's there too. Even if you make yourself up in the tops of the mountains, he's also there. If you take and go down to the bottom of the sea, there he will command the serpent to bite you. There's no place you can get out of his presence, no matter what. And these people that come around here and all these things are trying to make the world created in a big bang or like an atomic bomb or something other, it's foolishness in their mind. God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. He spoke everything into existence. Man was the only thing that he created out of a substance that he had already made, and he created the earth, and he made man from the earth and the dust of the earth, and he made him in his own image and in his likeness. He breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. He made the woman from a bone out of Adam's side, and he called her woman. And it wasn't Adam and Steve, but it was Adam and Eve, my friend, male and female. He made all things, even to the animals. And you don't find male animals messing with male animals or female animals mating with a mate. You find you don't find a red bird mating with some other color bird or nothing other like that. They're all created in the image of God, and they should be keeping with their cleanliness. God once condemned Israel for going out of their nationality in marriage. We should feel the same way, but we've got to where now that this world has come to be that they're just any old thing to do. Any old way the old flesh wants to do, let it do it, and it's going to be all right. Everything going to pan out. Yeah, well, you go that route if you want to, my friend. But when Jesus comes, you're going to find out that citron that you made, it got holes in it, and that frying pan you got to trying to make everything pan out in ain't going to make it. It takes repentance in the name to the Lord Jesus Christ and being taken by his name and become their part of the kingdom of God through the name of Jesus. God himself declared it. He made it forth, and Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, but he became there that in the fullness of him dwelt the Godhead, and without him there was nothing made that was made. So where are you going to go? As my wife said a little bit later, earlier there, that you take an egg, when you make it, you got it in your hand, it's an egg. It's one thing. But there's three separate parts to it, but they each one have a place to hold. The shell holds it all together. The yolk, you can take it and whip it up and make icing out of it. And the yolk, you can do scramble it all up together and you still got an egg. My friend, you cannot separate it and still call it something else. It's still an egg. My friend, Jesus Christ came into this world. He died for yours and my sins. He came to bring salvation to us. God manifested in the flesh. First chapter, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He spoke of John the Baptist as a forerunner of Jesus Christ, but he said in the 14th verse, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. My friend, you can't get it no plainer than that. I don't see how you can make anything out of it other than what it says. Elsewise, you become a fool yourself. And like the rest of these that trying to make God be something that he's not. He's God. He's God all over the world. He's God in the Amen corner. And he's going to be God all the way. And he's going to be, we're going to stand before him one day, and we're going to see him as he is. He's going to be just as he come out of that tomb, just as he was on the cross, as he walked around the shores of Galilee, and they put him on the cross, and that old body died, but then it rose again, and the spirit come out of it, and they didn't open the tomb to let him out. They opened the tomb to where they could go in and see he wasn't there. Jesus cried out to Lazarus after he told him to remove the stone off the mouth of the cave where they had put Lazarus. And he told him there, he said, remove the stone. And they laughed. Oh, Lord, he's been dead 4 days, but he stinketh by now. And the fourth day, the corruption starts over. But Jesus came back on the third day. And corruption he'd never seen. Oh, my friend, you got to realize when he called Lazarus by his name, he came out of the tomb wrapped in grave clothes. And if you have not repented of your sins and let Jesus Christ come into your life, you're still wrapped up in grave clothes because your sins are still upon you and death awaits you. And the grave is going to be your last final place. And if you don't repent, hell would be where you're going to wind up finality, along with the devil and all them other people that choose to go there. Jesus said that the way to glory in a straight way, in a narrow gate, few find it. But he said, a broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. He even made the statement that hell had enlarged itself to accommodate them that's going there. Honey, Jesus stood there one day and gave altogether an invitation to whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. He didn't send it just to a few. He said, whosoever will. That means you and I and all the everybody else. But if they don't mind to come into the invitation and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and come in and be born again, it's to his laws. But my friend, if you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be your personal Savior and repent of your sins, it's going to be a gain that such as the world has never known, and it's not even entered into the minds of man, that what God hath in store for them that love him and his appearing. So it's up to you, just like it was up to me. I made a choice to serve the Lord. I'm still serving the Lord. But my friend, today, it's your choice. No longer, it's about time you made up your mind about get out of the valley of decision, come to the crossroad and make the right turn and make it for Jesus. Going and repenting and do that which is right in the sight of God, calling upon the name of the Lord. We're none perfect. There's no man perfect except one, and that was Jesus Christ. He came into this world to save you and I, to bring us into a perfect will of God, if you will allow. So flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The flesh, if we give into it, it'll cause you to do things and desire things that is not pleasing to God. But that's what the world is all about today. Pleasing to the flesh. As Eve came up there and the devil told her, he said, hath not God told you that you could eat of every tree in the midst of the garden? But he said, except this one in the midst of the good and evil. She seen that it was pleasant to look at. She stood in the presence of the enemy too long. Instead of rebuking and turning away from it, she seen it was pleasant to see. The world has a lot of things out there that are pleasant to look upon. And then it has a lot of stuff out there that's good to the taste and good to the feel, good to this and good to that. But the finality of it, if you accept that and wind up in hell, what has it got you? It got you to spend eternally in torment for eternity. Not for just the rest of your life, but for eternity. Oh, my friend, listen, there's only one way that you're going to get out of the pits of hell, and that's calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can deliver you. The devil came into this world to deceive and to steal, to kill, and destroy, and he will destroy you in hell if you listen to him. But if you listen to the word of God and pray and seek God, then the devil has no hold on you. He'll aggravate you some, but you can always rest assured that Jesus said he cannot bother you except you give yourself over to him. He can put a thought in your mind, but if you pass it off and reject it, it's going to pass from you. But if he puts a thought in your mind to go out there and do something other and you act upon it, it wasn't the devil didn't make you do it. You done it because he put the thought in your mind. Devil can't make you do nothing. God ain't going to make you do it, but in the end, he's going to wish you had it. So, my friend, which is it going to be? We're going to walk in darkness the rest of your life? Or you want to come into the light of the gospel, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. We got to realize that there's a time and a place for all things. And it's high time that people realize that the world is fastly closing down. All these signs and these things that you see happening around and about that you hear on the news and all these things is a fulfillment of the word of God, what Jesus told them that was going to take place before his return. They're happening today. So why not choose the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not repent and come to him? Let that blood cover your sins and wash you whiter than snow, calling upon his name, allowing him to come into your life and just go and let him be your Lord and Master. Let him do what you can't do for yourself. You can't save yourself. I can't, you can't, and nobody else can, but Jesus can. You can repent. And he'll bring you into the place of wherein that you've never realized how much that God has to offer you until you call upon him and realize that your sins are gone. Sin will take you a little further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you can pay or you want to pay. And you want to really live, turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him. God incarnated in the flesh came and died for you. He is the one that blessed you. He'll give you life and give it to you eternal. The devil came to steal and destroy, and he will steal your soul and destroy it in hell if you don't take heed to the Word of God and listen to what the Word says and believe in it and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and come to the place to where you will repent, asking God to forgive you of your sins, and looking to Him to lead and direct you in the path of righteousness. You can't do it by yourself, my friend. The flesh is weak. It needs something to strengthen it. It needs the Spirit of God to guide it and direct it, because the flesh will give in to all things because it's weak. It loves to see all this here stuff that goes on in the world, and it become the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In the world today, the church world, as they call it, the denominations have invited the world in there. Instead of going out into the world and win souls, they've let the souls come into the church, and they ain't got nothing to save them by. Jesus Christ came to save us. The preacher behind the pulpit is preaching you any other thing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him only, then you need to find your place where they preach the gospel at. That's the only thing that's going to get you saved. It's the only thing that's going to bring forth healing to soul, mind, and body is the Word of God. And when they go to coming up there and preaching another Jesus, Paul said, let him be accursed. Oh, my friend, listen, there's no way that I would want intentionally tell you something of the wrong. And if I do, God forgive me and you too. But I want you to think about it. The Scripture can't be broken. It's there, and it's for yours and my learning. It's for yours and my goal to reach out and touch the hem of the garment as the woman did that had the issue of blood for 12 years. I want you to know she spent all she had and steadily grew worse until she made up her mind, if I could but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be healed. She put some works and her faith together and pressed her way there just to touch the hem garment. My friend, today, that's a problem with the world. They don't want to do anything for the kingdom of God to get what He has in store, but they'll go hundreds and thousands of miles to see something another ever has to offer them. And they won't go around the block to meet up with Jesus Christ. But And it ain't too far down the line, I don't believe. I don't believe it's going to be too much longer till the Lord comes. And if you're not got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life and your sins under the blood, and when He appears, He's going to make that judgment on a call on you, depart from me, I never knew you, and it's going to be too late. Noah's built the ark for 120 years, and he warned the people that there was going to come a flood and destroy the earth as it was. 120 years he preached. When the ark was finished and God got everything ready and everything was in the ark, God told Noah, He said, Noah, come into the ark. See, God was already there. He said, Noah, come into the ark. Noah taking his wife, his three sons and their wives, 8 souls, they went into the ark. In the presence of the Almighty God, they went in there, and 7 days that door stayed open of an opportunity for who would come in, but nobody walked in. Nobody said, let me in, and walked in while the door is open. My friend, that door of opportunity had closed when God shut the door, the same way it did with the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. The 5 foolish ones didn't keep their oil lamp. They didn't ever repent, in other words. They were all virgins, but they thought everything was going to be all right. They didn't have oil in their light, that he couldn't light it. And when they went to get some, when they come back, the door of opportunity was shut. And when they knocked and Lord let us in, He said, I don't know you. And that's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes. He's going to take His bride to be with Him. And them that are left behind is going to be lost opportunity. It'll suffer the consequences of the sins in their lives, and they will reap the whirlwind, and whatever is God deems to be to them, they're going to reap it, my friend. And He'll cast all of them, the false prophets and all them sinners and everything, even to the devil himself, said He'll cast them into hell alive, and there they'll be shut up and never more torment anybody. He'll be closed up. The devil knows this, and he's out working overtime trying to win your soul over to him, to fool you, to deceive you, and get you to walk one more day in the darkness of sin, to whereby that it one day may be your last day, and you be lost without any hope. But that one day, if you put it off, may be the end of your life, because you or I, either one, don't know the time that when that time comes. My friend, you may get into an accident and instantly killed, or I could, either one. You could lay down and never wake up. I don't mean to scare you. I'm just telling you the plain, bare facts, truth about it. You ain't got the promise of tomorrow no more so than I have. You can't say today that you're going to plan a vacation for a year ahead of time and fulfill all that. If you are, you're blessed. But if you plan it without God being in it, you're just lucky, if you want to call it lucky. God's mercy is the only thing you can really lay it to. And he let you plan it, and it let it fulfill. But one day, you're going to put him off one time too many. He said, Lord, I got something else I need to do before I need to get right and get my act together before I can come to you. No, honey, you got to come just as you are. It don't make no difference how dark your sins is. They can be red like crimson, but he'll wash them whiter than snow. But it's got to come as you are, not as you think you ought to be, but as you are. Giving him the praise and the glory, accepting him and his salvation, giving him honor and praising him, repenting of your sins. And that tomorrow comes, and if you wake up, good. Still praise him and thank him for another day. But should you go to sleep tonight in the presence of God and wrapped in his love and care, and if you don't wake up, then you'll be in the presence of the holy God that he is, and all the other problems will be done away with. My friend, listen to me. Read your Bible. Read and find out for yourself. Don't take my word for it or somebody else's word. Read your Bible for yourself. Read it in believing and asking God to guide you through it, to help you to understand it. And he's the best teacher there is. He come and taught the apostle, and he's taught me. He's taught many others, even though he wasn't presently in the flesh, but his spirit, hallelujah, was right there. He said he would lead us and guide us into all truth, not just part, but all. My friend, he's led me in to understand that God was manifested in the flesh, came and died for my sins. And in him, Jesus Christ, dwelled all of the fullness of the Godhead body. My God is an awesome God. He is God all over. He is God the Creator, the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration, all three one. The scripture doesn't say that they are separate, but he said these three are one. You got to accept the word of God, my friend, not somebody else's interpretation of it. When they go and divide God, like the denominations has divided, they all say they're going to heaven, but they all got a different theory about what God's all about. So we need to realize that there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're baptized into one body, and the body has many body parts, but it's only one head, and Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which he purchased with his own blood on Calvary's cross, was the soul of man, the saints that are born again of the water and of the Spirit. Not that they're going to become saints, but they will become saints if they repent. In other words, I guess they would call them hanks if they're serving the devil. But God's people, he calls them saints. It was also there in Revelation. You can read it. Where the soul of the saints was under the altar. And John said, who are these? And he said, thou knowest. These were them that come up through great tribulation. And my friend, we're in tribulations and things are working, waxing worse. So be warned to know, and let me encourage you, read your Bible, find out who Jesus is, find out what he can do for you, and allow him to come into your life and repent and accept him as your personal Savior. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would touch the ears of the hearer and the heart to believe and receive you of your infallible word by the reading and the teaching, that you would bring forth and give them life through life. In Jesus' precious name, we give you the praise and the glory for all that we cover. Write to us if you will. The Lord bless you. Until next week, God bless. Amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.